Hey everyone, welcome back to Brew to Brew.
I'm Claire, and I'm so happy to be here with you again this week as we listen in on more conversations from the Brita community.
You know, what really stood out to me this week was how so many of the conversations were kind of about, you know, connecting the dots.
Right, like finding those universal threads that link us all together.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter where we are in the world. It's really quite fascinating.
Yeah. And, you know, one example that just popped into my head was Heiko sharing about his hiking trip.
Oh, yes. To the Austrian Alps.
To the Austrian Alps. Yeah. And it wasn't even just the scenery, although I'm sure that was amazing.
It was beautiful. He stayed in Kitzbühel.
Yeah.
Which is an area that relies very heavily on tourism. And he noticed that the people there have a really proactive and almost intuitive approach to service.
It's like they could anticipate what guests needed before they even asked.
Exactly, which is amazing.
Yes. And thinking about that, have you got any thoughts about the story about his hotel room?
Oh, the hotel room story.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So he mentioned this problem with a persistent vibration in his room.
Right.
And rather than just, you know, kind of trying to patch up the problem, the hotel manager went above and beyond.
Yeah.
And offered Heiko alternative accommodations immediately.
Yeah, and like really prioritizing his comfort and satisfaction.
Exactly.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
You don't see that a lot anymore.
It's true. It seems like they really value building relationships and ensuring guests feel valued rather than just treating them as transactions.
Okay.
So do you think we could all benefit from adopting a bit more of that Austrian hospitality?
I think so.
Whether in our personal lives or our businesses, I think it's something that we can all aspire to.
For sure.
Yeah. And Heiko was so inspired by this experience that he said he's really committed to bringing that same warmth and attentiveness into his everyday life.
That's great.
It's lovely.
That's so nice.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful example of how travel can really broaden our perspectives and encourage us to embrace new ways of being.
100%.
So moving on to a slightly different but equally fascinating cultural experience, Ritesh talked about celebrating Diwali in Bangalore, even though he was away from his family this year.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned that the city was all decked out in these vibrant decorations.
Right.
And his plans to celebrate with friends.
Mm.
And Monica actually shared a contrasting perspective on Diwali, talking about the celebrations in Adelaide.
No, yeah.
Large gatherings, delicious Indian food, colorful cultural performances, and of course, spectacular fireworks.
Wow.
Diwali is celebrated on a grand scale in Australia with people from all walks of life coming together to enjoy the festivities.
That's so cool.
And we can't talk about Diwali without mentioning the food.
Oh, for sure.
Ritesh highlighted how Diwali cuisine varies across India.
Yeah.
So in the north, the focus is very much on sweet dishes like kheer, which is a rice pudding, and then a delicious vegetarian feast.
I'm getting hungry.
I know, it sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And then southern India has this incredible array of dishes that are often served on banana leaves. Oh, wow. That sounds...
Yeah, it's very different.
It's interesting, yeah.
And then Monica chimed in and said that Indian cuisine in Australia has taken on its own unique character with fusion dishes that incorporate local ingredients and flavors.
Oh, wow.
Reflecting the multicultural tapestry of Australian society.
That makes sense.
Yes. It's just a great example of how food can be a delicious window into the cultural evolution of a place.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Ritesh also gave us a glimpse into the PG or paid guest system in Bangalore.
Oh, yeah.
This is a really interesting and affordable housing setup that's popular amongst young professionals like himself.
Right.
It's essentially a shared living arrangement with private rooms, communal kitchens, and even cleaning services included.
Wow.
Yeah. It only costs him about 10% of his salary.
Wow.
Which allows him to save for the future.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a great example of how different cultures have developed these really unique solutions to meet the needs of their populations.
Absolutely.
Makes you wonder what innovative housing solutions we could adopt in other parts of the world. Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about Celine and Alexandra.
Okay.
A couple who shared their unique approach to finding balance in their busy lives.
Sounds good.
So Alexandra is a real go-getter. He's into CrossFit, trail running, gardening, and he's even training for a 40-kilometer race.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But what's really inspiring is how he also prioritizes family time.
Yeah.
Especially on Sundays when he takes his daughter on forest runs and they go chestnut hunting together.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Picture the crisp autumn air, the crunch of leaves underfoot, and the joy of discovering these hidden treasures in the forest.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
It's a beautiful picture of family bonding in nature.
I love that.
Celine, on the other hand, embraces a quieter, more introspective approach to life.
Right.
She works from home, she's setting up her own business, and really focuses on personal growth.
Okay.
She mentioned that she's currently reading Atomic Habits, which is all about making small incremental changes that lead to significant long-term results.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's a good one. She believes that shifting your mindset is key to achieving lasting change.
Yeah.
And she even shared an example of how she overcame some organizational challenges in her life by changing her perspective.
Wow.
It's a reminder that sometimes the biggest obstacle to our growth is our own way of thinking.
Right. I think a lot of people struggle with that.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's great.
And despite their contrasting styles, Alexandra and Celine both seem to find common ground in their love for physical activity.
Yeah.
Alexandra loves those intense runs,
Yeah.
while Celine prefers a more leisurely pace, often joining the family runs with a book in hand.
I love that.
It's a perfect illustration of how couples can find harmony and balance even with different preferences.
That's such a good point. Yeah, I love that.
And it's not just about exercise. They've also established some lovely family traditions.
Oh, like what?
Well, they prepare pestnuts using a method that's been passed down from Celine's family.
Oh, wow. Adding a touch of heritage and history to their everyday lives.
I love that.
Don't forget their Lego flower arrangements.
Yeah.
That sounds like such a creative and fun way to brighten up their home during the winter months.
For sure.
They also have weekly planning sessions where they sync their calendars and make sure they're balancing their individual pursuits with family time.
Yeah, that's so important.
It's a great reminder that communication and planning are key to maintaining a healthy and harmonious family life.
Absolutely.
But even with all of this, they mentioned that they're still actively seeking deeper friendships beyond work and family.
Oh, wow.
It really highlights that universal need for connection and belonging.
Yeah.
That reminder that even those who seem to have it all still crave those meaningful bonds with others.
Right.
Yeah, it makes you think about the importance of nurturing our relationships and being open to new connections no matter what stage of life we're in.
Yeah, for sure.
We've covered a lot of ground already, but there's so much more to explore.
That's true, yeah. Are you ready for the next round of Breed-A-Brew Insights?
Let's do it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too. This next conversation really got me thinking. It all started with Clea posing a question to the group like, do you ever feel addicted to your phone?
Oh, wow.
It's a question we've probably all asked ourselves at some point.
Yeah, definitely, especially these days.
It's true. And Monica actually chimed in with this perfect story to illustrate this dilemma. She was at an ABBA cover band concert.
Oh, fun.
It does sound fun, but instead of being present and, actually enjoying the music, she noticed that almost everyone around her was glued to their phones trying to film the performance.
Oh, wow.
It's a classic example of how technology can sometimes prevent us from, fully experiencing life.
Right, yeah.
We're so focused on capturing that perfect shot or video that we miss out on the actual moment.
Yeah, and that makes me think about, like, are we really even experiencing life, or are we just curating it for social media?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And Monica also brought up a really interesting point about the generational differences in phone use.
Oh, yeah, like what?
Well, she didn't get her first mobile phone until she was 30.
Wow.
Whereas her younger cousin has grown up with this constant connectivity,
Right.
and it really highlights how technology has shaped different generations' relationships with their devices.
For sure. I mean, I definitely noticed that with like my nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Then Clea turned to Rosie and asked her about the physical toll of all this screen time.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, and Rosie was really honest. She said that she experiences screen fatigue, stiff necks, and sore backs from her work, which requires her to be on the computer all day.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even though technology brings so many benefits,
Yeah.
it's important to be mindful of its potential downsides as well.
Right. We need to be more proactive about taking breaks and stretching and engaging in activities that give our eyes and minds a rest from the digital world.
I agree. I think so too. Abette also joined the conversation, and she shared her own struggles with managing her children's screen time.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant battle, isn't it?
It really is. It's a battle that many parents are facing these days, you know, trying to find that balance between technology and real-world experiences.
Exactly.
Monica mentioned that some schools in Australia have actually implemented phone bans.
Oh, wow.
To address this very issue. So they're trying to combat distractions in the classroom, bullying, and even potential health problems like myopia.
Oh, wow.
Which has been linked to excessive screen time.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting to see how different societies are grappling with the impact of technology on young people.
For sure.
And as a teacher, Rosie actually shared her own classroom strategy for minimizing phone distractions.
Well, what does she do?
She has this designated phone box where students have to put their phones at the beginning of each lesson.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's a good idea, isn't
it? Yeah.
So it creates that clear boundary between, you know, learning time and personal technology use.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And this actually sparked a broader discussion about the purpose of education in today's digital age.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Frank shared a really thought-provoking point from an American acquaintance of his.
Okay.
This person argues that modern schooling often focuses more on training students for specific jobs.
Right.
Rather than encouraging critical thinking and independent exploration.
Yeah, I've heard that argument before.
It does come up a lot, and it raises the question, should education be about equipping students with specific skills?
Right.
Or fostering their ability to think critically and solve problems and adapt to new situations?
Yeah, it's a really complex issue.
It is. It's a conversation worth having, though.
Definitely.
Clea, who lives in South Korea, actually contrasted this with the French education system.
Okay.
Where high school students specialize very early to prepare for their chosen career paths.
That's interesting.
It's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
So it's fascinating to see how different cultures approach education and what they prioritize. Okay, so switching gears completely now.
Okay.
Frank and Ismar had a really interesting conversation about what defines a good life.
Oh, wow. That's a big question.
It is. It's a question that philosophers have been pondering for centuries.
Right.
And their viewpoints were quite different,
okay,
shaped by their unique cultural backgrounds and personal experiences. So Ismar, drawing from his life in Brazil, emphasized the importance of personal peace resilience and individual effort in achieving a good life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So he sees reducing crime as crucial for societal improvement,
okay,
leading to safer streets, fewer incarcerations, and less reliance on security measures.
Right.
Which makes sense given the challenges faced in some parts of Brazil.
Yeah.
He's also a really passionate advocate for education.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. He believes that respect for teachers, parental involvement, and competitive salaries are all essential for attracting and retaining qualified educators.
Right.
Which ultimately benefits everyone in society.
Absolutely.
Frank, on the other hand, takes more of a systemic approach. He focuses on the role of strong institutions, societal trust, and transparent governance in creating a good life for all.
Interesting.
Yeah, he values accountability and public service.
Right.
And he contrasted that with current leadership trends, where sometimes it seems like personal gain is prioritized over the collective good.
Yeah, I can see that.
He acknowledges that individuals can be catalysts for change.
Yeah.
But he really believes that lasting progress requires well-functioning institutions that hold leaders accountable and truly serve the needs of the people.
Right.
It's an interesting contrast to Ismar's focus on individual effort.
It is. Yeah, that's a really good point.
So they both also express some concerns about the superficiality of much of modern social media discourse.
Oh, yeah.
Ismar was quite critical of influencers who seem to prioritize fame and followers over substance.
Right.
While Frank worries that this constant pursuit of likes and shares is actually eroding the quality of genuine dialogue and meaningful connections.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think they both seem to long for more authenticity and depth in their interactions with others.
Absolutely.
Which is a sentiment that resonates with many people today.
It does, yeah, for sure.
So as they wrapped up their discussion, Frank came to really appreciate that both robust institutions and individual responsibility are essential ingredients for a good life.
Right. It's kind of a both and situation.
Yes, isn't it? It's about finding that balance.
Right.
And Ismar actually offered a beautiful metaphor. He described society as a garden where everyone has a role to play.
Oh, I like that.
It's a nice image, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just like a gardener tending to their own patch while also contributing to the overall health and beauty of the garden.
Right.
We all have a responsibility to care for ourselves and each other.
It's a good reminder.
It is. It really highlights that interconnectedness of our actions.
Yep.
And the importance of collective responsibility in creating a world where everyone can thrive.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's move on to a story that I found both heartwarming and hilarious.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sebastian, a new father, shared his experiences of early fatherhood with such honesty and humor.
That's great.
Yeah, and he didn't shy away from the challenges either. So he talked about the sleepless nights, the constant diaper changes, and even the comical attempts to collect a urine sample from his 5-month-old daughter.
Oh my gosh.
It's a great reminder that even amidst the chaos, there's always room for laughter and appreciation for those precious moments. Parenthood is definitely a wild ride.
It sounds like it.
But Sebastian's new role as a dad also prompted some reflections on the challenges of caring for aging family members. So he's currently trying to find suitable senior care for his 85-year-old grandmother who recently had a fall.
Oh no.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're facing those long waiting lists for the free facilities. And that sadly highlights the need for more accessible and affordable care options for the elderly.
For sure.
It's a complex issue with no easy solutions.
Yeah, definitely.
And Frank actually shared his own experience with the financial burden of caring for his mother-in-law.
Oh yeah.
So her home care costs are quite substantial,
Yeah.
even with government assistance.
Wow.
It really emphasizes the need for more comprehensive support systems for both the elderly and their families.
Absolutely.
And they also discuss the ethical implications of the high cost of elder care. Because in many countries, self-funded retirees often face much higher expenses compared to those who are receiving government pensions. So this raises all sorts of questions about, fairness and access to quality care for everyone.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
It's a conversation that needs to continue.
It does, for sure.
Okay, so let's lighten things up a bit.
Okay, I like it.
Monica shared about her recent adventures at a scout camp in Australia.
Fun.
And it sounds like she had some incredible encounters with native wildlife.
Oh, cool. Like what?
Imagine being woken up by the sound of a kookaburra
Oh,
or
wow.
having a koala wander into your campsite.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just, a tiny glimpse into the beauty and diversity of the Australian landscape.
Absolutely.
But not all of her encounters were quite so charming.
Oh no, what happened?
She also had a close call with a potentially dangerous brown snake.
Oh my
I
gosh.
know. So it's a reminder that even in these seemingly idyllic settings, nature can be unpredictable and sometimes even threatening.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
So Monica and Frank then got onto a conversation about how Christmas traditions adapt to different climates and cultures.
Oh yeah, because Christmas in Australia is in the summer.
Exactly. So keeping a real Christmas tree fresh can be a real challenge.
All right, yeah.
But Monica's father, demonstrating true Aussie ingenuity, created a custom tree stand using buckets and metal poles.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that.
It's resourceful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it speaks to that adaptability and resourcefulness of the human spirit.
Right, yeah.
Frank, meanwhile, reminisced about his own childhood Christmases in Australia. His family, who have German roots, maintained their tradition of decorating their tree with real candles.
Oh, wow.
It's a lovely image, but I imagine it probably came with a bit of a fire hazard.
It probably did, yeah.
It's fascinating, though, how some traditions endure
Right.
even as times change.
They do. Yeah, that's true.
And all of these diverse stories also touch upon some really important social issues.
Like what?
Whoa, like the rising cost of housing in Australia, the challenges of finding affordable elder care, and the ongoing debate about the purpose of education in this digital age.
Those are all really important topics.
They are, and they highlight the complexities of these issues,
Yeah.
and they need for, these comprehensive solutions that actually address the root causes.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that behind these everyday anecdotes lie some very real challenges facing individuals and societies as a whole.
Right. Sometimes it's easy to forget that.
It is, isn't it? So we've journeyed from the Austrian Alps to the heart of Bangalore, from the Australian outback to the depths of philosophical discussions.
It's been quite a journey.
It has, and through it all, we've seen the incredible diversity and the interconnectedness of our Brita community.
Yeah, that's what I love about it.
It's been an inspiring and thought-provoking ride so far.
It really has.
So, are you ready to wrap things up with our final
Let's
thoughts?
do it. I'm ready.
Great. So, we've explored so many fascinating stories from our Brita community, haven't we?
We have, yeah, it's been amazing.
Each of them offers this unique window into different lives and perspectives and cultures.
And I love how those seemingly ordinary moments, like Heiko's experience with Austrian hospitality or Sebastian's hilarious diaper-changing adventures,
Oh, yes.
they can reveal so much about who we are and how we navigate the world.
It's true. It's those little details that make those stories so relatable and engaging. And when we hear about somebody like Monica adapting these Christmas traditions to the Australian summer with her, DIY tree
Her friend
stand,
was amazing.
it reminds us of the resilience and creativity that exists within all of us.
Exactly.
And it's inspiring.
It is. Yeah. And we've also delved into some really thought-provoking conversations
Yeah.
about the role of technology in our lives, the meaning of a good life, and the challenges of balancing those individual aspirations with collective responsibility.
And it's been really fascinating to hear how BRITA members from such different backgrounds approach these really complex
Right.
issues.
And it seems like, Frank's emphasis on strong institutions versus Ismar's belief in individual resilience
Right.
really highlights just how much diversity of thought there
Yes.
is within our community.
It shows that there's no one-size-fits-all answer to these big questions. And
Exactly.
that's okay.
It is, yeah.
The beauty of BRITA Brew is that it really does provide this space for all those different perspectives to coexist and even challenge each other.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it so enriching for listeners as well.
Absolutely.
It's not about finding the right answer,
Right.
but it's about broadening our understanding of the world and ourselves through the experiences of others.
Exactly. And speaking of broadening our understanding,
Yes.
I think it's worth highlighting those social issues that were kind of woven into so many of this week's stories.
I agree.
Like everything from the rising cost of housing in Australia
Yeah.
to the challenges of finding affordable elder care
Yeah.
to that, ongoing debate about the purpose of education in the digital age.
It's a big one.
It is, yeah. And, these are all very real concerns that a lot of people are facing.
Absolutely. And it's a good reminder that even the most personal stories can connect to those larger societal trends and challenges.
Right.
And while BRITA Brew may not offer solutions to these complex problems,
Right.
it definitely gives us a platform to at least acknowledge them,
Yeah.
discuss them, and perhaps even inspire action.
Yeah, I love that. And, that's the power of shared stories.
It
They can
is.
connect us across cultures and challenge our assumptions
Absolutely.
and encourage us to see the world through so many different lenses.
And sometimes they can just make us laugh or cry or
We're
feel a sense of wonder.
100%.
So, as we wrap up this week's BRITA Brew, we want to thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Through the diverse tapestry of our BRITA community,
And we hope you've been inspired and entertained and maybe even learned a thing or two along the way.
and keep sharing your own stories and
Yes.
engaging in those really meaningful conversations that connect us all.
Thank you for a great week.
See you soon, Claire and Sam.
Toodly-oo.